read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. This morning we have two booksellers from two bookstores joining us with more than two books that you should pay attention to. We welcome Matt Tannenbaum from the bookstore in Lenox, Massachusetts. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Good morning. Good morning.
Mike 4, I apologize. Mike 4 is the mic. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Good to be here. Thanks.
It's wonderful to have you here.
Great, man.
Always a pleasure. We also welcome Drew Broussard from Rough Draft Bar and Books in Kingston, New York. Good morning, Drew. Great to see you.
Good morning, Joe. Happy to be here.
Well, always happy to have you both here.
A couple of bookseller bartenders.
Yes, indeed. We are. It's true.
You have beer.
Yes.
And you do the Get Lit wine bar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you two are very smart.
And this is the first time we've met.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, excellent.
We've been to each other's places, but not the other guy was taking a day off or something.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I understand.
You know these booksellers.
I am very happy to have you both here. Drew, let us begin with you.
So October in Kingston means the O-Positive Festival, which is a fantastic festival largely of music and art and performance and also wellness that happens in Kingston. We're very excited for the first time to be co-presenting an event with them, the opening event on Friday, October 10th at 7 p.m. at the Old Dutch Church. Jonathan Lethem is coming to celebrate his new and collected story collection, a different kind of tension, it's called. I think it's so cool when some of the great authors of our time get to that place of a new and selected story collection.
Yes.
It's an opportunity to introduce. It's an opportunity to reconnect. I have loved Jonathan's work since I was a kid. I'm so excited. The collection is truly career spanning, except for the fact that there's still probably quite a bit of career to go.
Right.
Absolutely terrific. Jonathan Lethem, Motherless Brooklyn, and
Fortress of Solitude,
Brooklyn Crime Novel, Chronic City, blah, blah, blah. But no, great books.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really great.
He's one of our writers.
Absolutely. Right. Fantastic. And so that's a great event happening this weekend. We had the folks on from O-Positive Festival last week and very excited by what they're up to and what they're doing and the very important work that they're doing in our community. Excellent. So that will be happening on Friday the 10th.
Yes.
All right. Friday the 10th. Matt, that brings us to you.
Hey, we had an event. So you missed it. No, I'm sure many of you were there. Raise your
a
hand
master
if you were
of publicity.
There.
Here's an event you missed. No.
So it was the Authors Guild Foundation's annual.
We had Bernard Schwartz on talking about that event as well, and some of the authors that Tim Weiner, for example, and others that were part of the festival.
Tim was great at the end of his event with Jonathan John Lawler.
Yes,
the ex-spy turned novelist. Tim leaned into the mic and said, "Buy our books." So that was the last thing the audience heard as they trundled out into the lobby.
And they did.
And they did.
Yeah,
and they did.
We had
a good book signing with them. And Tuesday?
Yes.
So Sunday was the last day of the festival, and Reverend Marianne Edgar Budd was in conversation with Marilyn Robinson.
Wow, that's a power.
And that was delightful. I got there toward the end because, as I was telling you, I had to stay at the shop during the day and have the other people running the book table at the event. But I got there for the last maybe 10 minutes. And to hear Marianne Budd, and we had met a couple of days earlier, she'd come into the store. She is a stature is small, but voice and clarity is large. And it was, and so this book of hers that I'm going to mention, How We Learned to Be Brave, came out in 2023. so a couple of years ago, and it came out because she had witnessed the president's march across the street at the, from the White House,
yes,
with the Bible and all that nonsense,
yes,
and that was her church, and she was just outraged and needed to say something and realized that she needed to be brave. That was a moment where it was decisive for her to be brave, and then she's written this book about that, and there's actually a new version, a new edition coming next week or next month, how we learn to be brave, young adult version.
Mm.
And then of course when right after the inauguration she gave the speech where she addressed down the president.
And we have that. We realize that we have a copy of that speech. It's published by ERIS, ERIS GEM. It's part of Columbia University Press. And this is Marion Edgar Budd. Contempt is a dangerous way to lead a country, is the name of the of what they put on the pamphlet here. Take a look at that, Joe.
By the way, we couldn't have planned that better. That was as if we had rehearsal there, Matt. That was great. This is really cool.
So
look at that.
And we have some signed copies because she signed a bunch of copies of this and her other book, Collecting the Fragments.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to get that.
Okay, I'll get you one.
I'll save you one. You're very nice.
So How We Learned to Be Brave came out, three years ago from Avery Press. And I hardly read books with these kinds of words in them. But this book really spoke to me. This book, she was, some authors who want to tell you about how to do things are a little removed. This author spoke right to me, and I really appreciated that.
That's great. Again, it is How We Learn to Be Brave, Decisive Moments in Life and Faith by Bishop Marion Edgar Budd, and also the very cool pamphlet speech.
Yeah.
Contempt is a dangerous way to lead a country. Excellent. All right. Drew, you're up.
I'm jumping to the end of my list, Joe, just so you
okay.
know as you're looking
All
down
right.
the thing. But because I finished this book this morning, North Sun by Ethan Rutherford. It is on the National Book Award long list for fiction. It was the only book on the list that I sort of didn't really know anything about. I'd seen it come out. It's out from A Strange Object, which is an imprint of Deep Vellum, a very cool small press in Texas.
That you get from Asterism?
Mm-hmm.
Asterism? Yeah. Okay.
And it blew me away. It starts like just a normal whaling voyage kind of novel, which I was like, okay, what's...
Oh, the old normal whaling voyage.
Yeah, you're sort of like, okay, I read Moby Dick and somebody's going to try to do a version of that now. And it gets stranger in a way that deals with superstition. All of those whaling voyages were so steeped in superstition,
oh, yeah,
which we sort of have lost touch with that level of the world is weird, the world is still unmapped. Rutherford pulls off some spectacular tricks that I do not want to give away, but just if you're looking at the book being like, I don't want to read just a whaling novel, let me tell you, it is much more than that.
It is North Sun or The Voyage of the Whale Ship Esther by Ethan Rutherford. Fantastic. All right. That sounds really, really good. Matt, you're up next.
Hey, I have a local. We are going to have an event. I'm sorry. I should have told you before. Publicity is not my.
Do I need to bring like pigs in a blanket, or what do I need to do?
This is a book called The Jazz Barn: Music in the Berkshires and the Place of Jazz in American Life by John Gennari. John Gennari, published by Brandeis University Press, and John will be at the Lenox Library on Saturday, October 18th, for an event. This is John's third book on jazz and culture. John is a Lenox native, and he teaches critical studies and English up at UVM. And this book is a life's work. This is the book that he was meant to write, even as he was writing his two other books, Blowing Hot and Cool, about jazz and critics, and the other book is Flavor and Soul, that he wrote about Italian-Americans on the African-American edge. And John is a he's a professor. He's an academic. There are some long words in this book, but there are some very cool moments in this book describing the music in that a couple from New York City came up to the Berkshires in the early 1950s, bought some outbuildings near a mansion in Lenox Stockbridge line, and brought in musicians and musicologists, brought in Marshall Stearns, a white musicologist who had studied African rhythms and Caribbean rhythms. They brought in people like Dizzy Gillespie. They brought in Louis Armstrong, Billie Holiday, Stan Getz. They brought in black and white musicians giving lectures on jazz in the early 1950s, up through 1959, the whole decade. And it was an incredible place in Lenox. And John's theory is that jazz came of... There's a special thing about jazz that it's different in the locales. So it could be a beer joint in New Orleans, or it could be a nightclub in New York, and it's different jazz. And this was different jazz that got learned and taught in Lenox, Massachusetts in the 1950s.
The name of the book, The Jazz Barn: Music in the Berkshires and the Place of Jazz in American Life. And the event is taking place Saturday, October 18th at 2 o'clock, 2 to 3:30 at the Lenox Library. And you can find out more by going to LenoxLib.org. And, of course, go to Matt's site as well, as books will be provided at the launch.
Exactly.
All right. Drew.
So we also have another event coming up on one week from today. October 7th, Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. is our monthly reading series, Night School. And the sort of coup this year, Annie Hartnett is joining us for this installment. Her new book, The Road to Tender Hearts, a Massachusetts author. I thought it was fitting.
Okay.
She just won the New England Book Award for this book.
Right.
It is the word of mouth hit of the year at Rough Draft. I love this book so much. I loved her two previous novels. But slowly but surely, I've watched people just pick this book up and staff members, clientele, pushing it into each other's hands. It is a kind of silly, picaresque road novel, a little bit about an older man who ends up with his daughter and two recently orphaned children from down the street. They set off across the country to try to meet up with this older man's high school sweetheart, whose husband has just died. They have a cat along the way who can sort of predict when people are going to die. It is so funny. It is so sweet. It has a bit of that like early Tim Burton macabre darkness to it. Oh, I cannot wait to hear her read from it. It is so charming.
Just like, this is the best quirky road trip novel I've ever read.
Yep.
Just really good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Great stuff.
Excellent.
The Road to Tender Hearts by Annie Hartnett, and the event is happening on the
7th.
That's coming up.
It's coming up.
At Rough Draft on October 7th. Excellent. All right.
We had nothing but authors and events, apparently.
It's a good business model. That and the drinks. You know?
I love this. I love this. This is great.
My next choice is John Prine, Living in the Present with John Prine by Tom Piazza. And Joe knows that Tom's been on your show, and he's come to visit me at the bookstore as well. We've had lovely, lovely chats. I was waiting for this book because he told me he was writing it the last time he was here. And you just told me he's going to be at the Cafe Lena.
He's going to be at Cafe Lena for the Saratoga Book Festival on Saturday night.
This coming Saturday
night. And he's amazing. The book is amazing. His stories are amazing. And, of course, John Prine is amazing.
So it's a wonderful, it starts off with a road trip that he takes with John Prine, and then John and Fiona say, would you write my memoir? Would you help me write my memoir? I don't want it to be an autobiography. I want it to be, and Tom goes to John's house, brings his own guitar, opens his guitar case. John Prine takes his guitar and he hands him his, John's guitar, which was actually Steve Goodman's guitar. And they jam not jam, but they play from around 9 o'clock that night till about maybe 1:30, although Fiona said the next day that she heard them still up around 3, playing music and being guitar buds. And, John Prine, I was listening to John Prine music on the way over here. I was also listening to the Round Table. But in between,
switching back and forth.
I don't care, man. You can listen to whatever you want. I don't care.
So, John, Living in the Present with John Prine by Tom Piazza. Lovely, lovely book.
Really good stuff. Yeah. It's a fascinating, and obviously not the book he expected to write.
Right.
And it becomes very emotional and really a beautiful book. So about John Prine.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. Next,
Discontent. By Beatriz Serrano. It's translated by Mara Faye Lethem. No relation, so far as I am aware. This is a book. We got galleys of this, advanced copies of it, and it had one cover. The book arrived, and we put it out on the shelf with a far better cover.
Oh, good.
And I had sort of dismissed it because I didn't really like the galleys cover. But a friend reached out and said, you have to read this. It is a great millennial work malaise novel. And it is that. It is a young woman who is tired of her job, is sort of has reached middle management and has figured out that she doesn't really have to do a ton of work, but she's still tired of it. She doesn't know what's going on in her life. She is forced to go on a corporate retreat with the rest of her staff. And she is sort of slowly unraveling. I read this book basically in a single sitting and laughed out loud multiple times because of the perfection of the absurdities of working of capitalism
and writers,
yes,
doing this,
it's so when you see it captured like that, it's so wonderful. And boy oh boy, does she swing for the fences at the end too.
Oh,
that's all I'll say.
All right, that's good, that's excellent. Discontent, Beatriz Serrano, excellent, translated by Mara Faye Lethem. Matt.
Do admit, The Mitford Sisters and Me by Mimi Pond. I've never spoken about a graphic novel before.
I've been staring at it across the table. Yeah. It's gorgeous.
Published by D&Q, Drawn and Quarterly. The Mitford Sisters and Me. The Mitford Sisters, there were six of them. We all know this. And I've read snippets of biographies. I've read many of Nancy's books. Nancy Mitford was a bookseller. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she worked at Haywood Hill. And Debo, her sister, she actually now owns Haywood Hill Bookstore because her son, Andrew, took it over at some point when Haywood Hill, that lovely bookshop in Mayfair, England. It's just a beautiful bookshop that I've been to and have known the people there. So it's lovely to have Nancy Mitford and Deborah Mitford involved in Haywood Hill. But this book is about the other sisters as well, Unity and Diana, both fascists,
uh-huh.
both Hitler followers. Diana and her husband spent years during the war in jail in the U.K., and then, of course, Nancy and Jessica, who they call Decca. So this book is about Mimi's and Mimi Pond's relationship with knowing who they were, discovering who they were, aghast at what they were doing, and realizing, oh, of course, that would be Nancy Mitford. She would do that. Or what Jessica would do during the Spanish Civil War and then come to America and write the incredible book, The American Way of Death. So this is a lovely, lovely book that I've spent a lot of time with, leafing through, jumping from section to section, and finding how Mimi Pond connects them all. So it's a lovely, lovely graphic novel.
Do
a big one.
Admit the Mitford Sisters.
Is what they would say to each other when they would have their arguments. Oh, do admit that I'm correct.
Are we having one now?
No. Okay. Do admit, Joe.
Just checking. I wanted to see. The Mitford Sisters and Me, that sounds great. Good stuff. All right, Drew, you're up.
The Everlasting by Alex Harrow is coming out at the end of October, but since I wasn't going to see you before then, I had to talk about it. It is my favorite book of the year, maybe one of my favorite books of all time. I have loved Alex's work from The 10,000 Doors of January, her first novel. It is a story of a man who is brought, he's a war veteran. He is brought to see the sort of head of his country, and the head of his country, it's a vaguely England-looking fantasy country, says, "We're sending you back in time to see the sainted warrior of our country, and to help document her story." He's like, "What the hell do you mean?" He gets sent back in time. He ends up discovering that this woman is completely different, unsurprisingly, from the stories, but it becomes this spectacular back and forth through time, switching points of view, manages to have courtly romance and also traditional romance. It is so good about fascism and the way that stories compel fascism, and also how stories can break fascism. Oh, everything about it is unbelievably good.
We are going to have to leave it there because we are out of time. But I want to allow our listeners to know that you can go to the websites, the roughdraftny.com and the bookstore in Lenox.com to find out about all of the other books, plus the entire list. Both complete lists are posted on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. Lots of events coming up at both places. If you miss that vibe, it is happening. So check them out at both of those URLs. Matt and Drew, you're the best. Thank you very much for being with us. It's a great pleasure to have you on the program as always. Best of luck in your book selling endeavors, and I appreciate you being here this morning.
Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.